So today it's the quote is, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the things that I do, greater than these will you do, because I go to the Father in heaven." And only believe. Is that better? Is that better? Okay, thank you. "Truly, truly, I say to you, the things that I do, you will do, only greater. Only believe, only believe." Right, whilst we're waiting, we can turn to Mark. Hooray! Chapter 5, verses 21 to 23. So Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 23. So next slide. This isn't going to sound very good if you listen to this on the internet. Next slide. Where are the slides? Only believe, only believe, only believe. So what we're going to be looking at is four key steps. One is creating faith through testimony. So this is very practical. We're looking at Mark 5, 21 to 43, and looking at how you can build this into your own life, how you can see miracles in your own life, how you can see healings in your own life. Because it wasn't just about Jesus. Jesus says he's gone to the Father. Now it's up to you. It's down to you. He's leaving the Great Commission in great hands. He trusts you. He believes in you. So do I. I believe in you. Okay, so creating faith through testimony. Building faith through action. So not just enough to believe, but you've got to act. Fanning the faith into flame. Sometimes it's not a one-off step. You've got to keep going and keep going and keep going. So how do you maintain that continual process? Fanning into flame. And finally, acting on faith. Sarah read this earlier on very beautifully. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay, next slide. Right, so let's set the scene. Mark 5, 21 to 43. Mark's an all-action gospel. Luke was the guy who wrote to the thinkers. Matthew to the Jews. John to the mystics. Kristen will correct me if I'm wrong in any of this. And Mark was very much the all-action gospel. He uses the present tense in a historic document quite a lot, and that's to try and create this sense of movement, of dynamism, what's actually happening. So it's just like a movie script, actually, just like a movie script. So where were we? So Andy Reid brought us up to this point. So they'd left from Capernaum, they'd crossed the Sea of Galilee, they'd encountered a crazy violent storm. The disciples really thought they were going to die. They really did. But Jesus hushed the storm. And the disciples are thinking, who is this guy who's been living with us? Been living with us, and they can hush nature. So they reach the other side, the Gadarenes, the Decapolis region, and they're met by a wild, crazy, demoniac. Just what they need after a tough mission, after a tough journey, huh? But Jesus calms them down, casts out the demons, and they get straight back into the boat. So we're going to carry on. So faith comes, so next slide. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. This is Romans 10:17. And a loud voice in heaven was saying, and they overcame him. Who's him? The accuser, the devil, the destroyer, the person who brings death. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. So the blood of the Lamb, one off, it's done. Jesus has done it, it's heaven, victory is assured. But here's our bit, and by the word of our testimony. A loud voice in heaven saying, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony. So scene one, enter Jairus, and action.
When Jesus had crossed over again in the boat to the other side, a large crowd gathered around him, and so he stayed by the seashore. One of the synagogue officials, named Jairus, came up and on seeing him fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she will get well and live." And he went off with him, and a large crowd was following him and pressing in on him.
Wow, setting the scene here, scene one. So Jesus has just arrived and a large crowd is already gathering. Why are they gathering? Because they'd heard about him. They'd heard about the miracles. Jesus does miracles. Seed of faith. They heard this, the testimony. Enter Jairus, the president. Well, it says in some commentaries that Jairus is the president of the synagogue. So you can imagine, really dressed up. His daughter's at the point of death. He's holding it together, just. But inside, he's all turmoil. But he's holding it together because the president's here. The president with his men. And he's seeing a crowd by the seashore, thinking, what's going on here? We don't need more trouble. No more trouble, because we've got enough trouble with the Romans already. So he goes up. He's walking up. So here, continual tense. He's coming up, came in, I put it in italic and bold, so that marks continuing tense, sort of present tense. But on seeing Jesus, it falls apart. He blubs. Jesus, Jesus! My daughter's on the point of death. I love this girl. She means the earth to me. Please, come, lay hands on her. He's falling at his feet over and over again, falling, continual, crying it out. But he's heard. Jesus heals. He's seen Jesus. It may not have been a big step of faith, but it was a tiny, tiny seed there. And he implored Jesus, come with me. And once Jesus had seen him cry himself out, perhaps it's a bit of conjecture, he says, yeah, let's go. But you can imagine the president, imagine Barack Obama, the Queen, Gordon Brown, standing up and all of a sudden falling down, crying, imploring. That's going to be a big deal, isn't it? A lot of people are going to be saying, hey, what's going on here? Have you seen this? Whoa, you know, Jesus is here, but have a look at that. President's crying. So there's a big scene. A lot of people are coming in, and they're pushing and jostling him, pushing. But they move on. Shout for joy, O barren one, for the sons of the desolate one will be more than the sons of the married woman. Shout for joy. Faith without deeds is dead. So we have to take an action, have to take a step. Scene 2. Enter the woman. And action.
A woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years and had endured much at the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather had grown worse. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction.
Wow. There it is again, hearing about Jesus, the testimony. Let's listen, let's talk about the stories. Talk about what Jesus has done for you. Has he healed you? Tell about it. Has he healed you in this church? Who's been healed in this building? Wow, look at that. The presence of God is here. Okay, people have been healed here. So we can believe in that. We can step out on that. So she's heard about Jesus, and immediately something in her heart says, if I can only touch his cloak, if I can only reach out, take a step, reach out. I believe, but I need to reach out. She didn't even ask Jesus to pray for him. Jesus didn't even pray for her. Wow. Okay, next slide. All right, I'm going to read this one. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? Now you can imagine the disciples, maybe not all the disciples, but most of the disciples saying, Jesus, we've just come across from a crazy mission trip. We've nearly died. We've seen this wild guy come to us and we're tired. And people are pushing in on you. And you're saying, who touched you? Come on, Jesus. I'm going to venture that Peter, John and James thought slightly differently. They're saying, whoa, whoa, what's going on here? Look, look what's happening. Look what's happening. Jesus has stopped. That means something's happening. Yeah, can you pick up on that? Something is happening. So tune in. What's happening here? Anticipate. Jesus is going to do something. Something is happening. Anticipate. What's Jesus doing? He's here now. What's he doing? Now, Jesus didn't know who touched him, but he looked around and he saw a woman who had done this. So maybe God had spoken to him. And in that hour, say, you know, God had given him the words. He'd given him a word of knowledge. Someone's touched you. He knows that because the power's gone out, but it's a woman. That much he knows so far, okay? So be aware, something's happening. What's coming into your imagination? What's coming into your mind? What's the Spirit saying? He's speaking. Okay, next, scene 4. And action.
But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.
Whoa, why did Jesus stop? Surely he could have gone on. She's been healed. I know it. Let's just move on. Get on. Someone's about to die. In fact, she probably already died by the time that Jairus was speaking to Jesus, because it would have taken time to get from Jairus' house to Jesus for the next scene. Does Jesus know this? I don't know. So why does he stop? Why did he stop? Well, I suggest there's a few reasons. One, he wants to affirm the woman's faith. He also wants her to continue in her healing. I beg your pardon? Continue in your healing? Surely she's been healed. We'll have a look at that. Next, he actually probably is completely amazed by this woman. Wow, what an incredible person. She's got the faith to draw power from me. No words were passed. She drew that power from him. So he's probably already fallen in love with her. What a woman. And he probably just wants to see her. And finally, actually this is important for Jairus. This step is important for Jairus. It's not just for the woman, it's for Jairus. We'll see an incremental increase in faith. If you take one step, increase your faith level. And you take another step, bit more faith, bit more. And all of a sudden your mountain's moved. So let's have a look at this then. Who knew that she'd been healed? Go on, Carol. That's great. Woo, fantastic. Another testimony. The power of God is here to be healed. But who knew that she'd been healed? She did. Yeah, she did. Did anyone else? Jesus knew, but not necessarily her or her situation. But you're right, he did. But not the full situation. So this story, she comes up now and she's a bit afraid. She's thinking, I've lost everything. I spent 12 years of hardship. I was a rich woman. I spent all my money on doctors. I was a sophisticated woman. I looked good. Now with this flow of blood, I smell. She was somebody who was strong and able. But now with the flow of blood, she was weak. She probably thinks, Jesus is going to tell me off. Oh no, please don't tell me off. But Jesus doesn't. He's so full of faith, so full of love, so full of admiration for this woman. I love you, girl. Look at this. Your faith has made you well. Your faith. And that was the key. Her faith. She had the faith. She heard about Jesus. She had faith. She took a step out. If only I can reach out and touch. It's faith that's the size of a mustard seed. How big was that faith to just say, I'm going to reach out and touch? That's all you need. And this mountain of suffering in her life, 12 years of suffering, 12 years of loss, 12 years of humiliation, has moved with that little bit of faith. So she heard, she believed, she reached out. But Jesus then says, go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, some great Bible teachers here, so I'm going to venture a hypothesis, but hopefully I won't get too shot down. He says, be healed. He doesn't say you have been healed. He says, be healed. Why? Does that mean she can lose her healing? Could it be? And if she has got a risk of losing her healing, how does she continue to be healed? Well, I think Jesus has given her the answer, which is your faith, your belief in me, your belief, believe. Continue on with that. Hearing, believing, reaching out, stepping out. Continue on with that. It's not a one-off. Keep going. Okay. Ready for the next bit? And action.
While he was still speaking, they came from the house of the synagogue official, saying, your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher any more? But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, do not be afraid any longer, only believe.
Oh dear. The fear has started. He cried himself out, Jairus. But the fear has started. He started thinking, oh no, she's died. That's it. It's over. Who can ever do anything from death? But Jesus says, don't be afraid. Switch off your mind for a moment. Only believe. Switch off the fear. Only believe. Again, can you see that said? That's a continuing thing. Kristen does this. I love the way he does that. He'll say, repeat the same words again to build faith in you. So this is what Jesus is doing to him, building faith. Jairus, you had a little bit of faith. You stepped up. You saw this lady being healed. You understand it's your faith. It's not about my power. It is, but it isn't. It's also about you accessing that power, your faith. This is it, Jairus, your faith. Only believe. Switch off those doubts. Believe. Okay, believe. So, this is an iterative process. It happened to me, actually, years ago. I had to get from Slough to Oxford for a meeting with the Bishop of Oxford, and then back to Slough again, only I didn't have any petrol, and I didn't realise I left my credit cards at home. And the AA wouldn't come and help me because I hadn't broken down yet. And by the time I got back to the Bishop's office, it was closed and everyone had straight out. So what could I do? Well, I recognised that, I don't leave my credit cards at home. I always carry them with me. Well, not now, because trousers. So what do I do? This is God. Conjunction of events. This is God. I can see God's hand. What can I do? Get rid of my watch? Barter it? They're not going to accept it. I believe. Jesus, what are you doing? I believe. I can see something's happening here. What are you doing? I believe. So I started driving and driving and driving. And the doubts came in. I started to become afraid. Oh no, I'm going to be stuck at the roadside. I'm going to be left here for the rest of my life. You know the way it is. Crazy thoughts. Irrational thoughts. But no, stop, control, calm yourself down, calm yourself, believe. Jesus, what are you doing here? I believe. You're amazing, God. I believe, I believe, I believe. And what happened? I got home. 60, 70 miles on no petrol. I was pretty amazed. I was astounded, just like these guys are. And then how did that help me? Iterative step. Next, on the morning of the marathon, 5th of April, Paris Marathon, I'm in my hotel room. And I'm sick. I've got diarrhea. I've got nothing in my tummy, no water, no food. And I know it's the wrong thing to do, is wrong medically. Everyone is saying, don't run, don't run. And I had text from Kristen, who started to muddy the waters, saying, well, actually, why don't you start? Finally, I hear from God. And God says, run. I needed that step of faith, getting home on that journey from Slough to Oxford. Say, okay, Jesus. Right, I've heard Kristen. I've heard you, Jesus. I believe. I believe. I believe. One step in front of the other. One step in front of the other. I believe. I believe. I believe. And Satan comes in. No, you're going to fall. You're going to die. You're going to wake up in a French hospital. Or not at all. Shut up. I believe. I believe. I believe. And what happened? I got to the end of the 26 miles. Not in very good shape, but I got to the end. And that was a miracle in itself. So, iterative process. It happens in your life. What has God already done? Build on that. Build on that. What has he done? Remember it. Build on it. Okay, so, first you'll start... David did exactly the same, didn't he? First, he beat the lions. Then he had the faith to beat the... to bear. Grab it by the beard. How close was that? You know, up close, pulling the guy's beard and... bam. Beat the bear. And then who did he beat? His Goliath. And save the whole of Israel. Okay. But whatever is given to you in that hour, whatever is given to you in that hour, say whatever is given to you in that hour, for it is not you speaking, but it is the Holy Spirit. So whatever is given to you in that hour, say that, because it's not you, it's the Holy Spirit. Okay, it's there, believe it. Say it. If it comes into your mind, say it out. Say it out. If it's positive, speak it out. Have faith. Okay, faith in action. And action.
And he allowed no one to accompany him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, he said to them, "Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep." They began laughing at him. But putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was.
Wow. Again, Jesus has to take some steps of action here. So we're moving from personal to actually ministry now. From personal to ministry. What did he do? Well, he started to choose who came with him. Why was that? Because if you read on in Mark chapter 13, verse 11, and he could do no miracles there in his hometown. Why? Because he wondered at their unbelief. He could do no miracles there because he wondered at their unbelief. So belief was important. So he's going to bring along the A-team. So who did he bring along? He excluded the disciples who perhaps were a little bit shaky. It was not a good time for them. That's okay. Take a break. He took Peter, James and John. And he took Jairus, because Jairus is the one. He's building up faith in Jairus. Jairus was the key to this healing. So those of who were, if you like, hot... those who had the faith, it's okay, you other guys, stay cool, take a break. You three, come with me. And excluding all those guys who were saying, oh, she's dead, oh, she's dead. What else did Jesus do here? He was saying to them, why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep. Again, whatever is given to you in that hour, say that, for it's not you speaking, it is the Holy Spirit. So all of a sudden, he's aware of the Spirit moving. Jesus drops something into him, and he'll drop something into you. What is he saying? Speak that out. In this case, he's making a statement. Bill Johnson says that you know, the angels are just kind of cruising around, looking for an opportunity to act. What gives them the authority? Bill Johnson says that it's a statement of faith. Speak out a statement of faith. It gives the angels the authority to act. Okay? So now, what statement did he make? Why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep. And he's saying to them, pushing them out, why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep. Say it. So he put them all out, took along the child's father, mother, Peter, James and John, and entered the room. Okay, next slide. The Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. The Son of God appeared to destroy the works of the devil. The devil is the accuser. But destroy also, in Greek, is dissolve. So sometimes... So sometimes it's not an instantaneous healing. It's dissolving. It takes time. 80% better, 90% better, 100% better. It takes a bit of time. Okay. So, and action. Sorry about that.
Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha cum," which translated means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old. And immediately they were completely astounded. And he gave them strict orders that no one should know about this. And he said that something should be given to her to eat.
Great, thank you. So, again, you can see what I'm going to say next. He was saying to the girl, "Talitha cum, Talitha cum, Talitha cum, Talitha cum." And immediately the girl got up. And then finally, and again, this is conjecture, this bit here. He said, "Give her something to eat." Okay, seal her faith, seal her faith. This is not an out-of-body experience. It's not a weird dream. This is real. Give her some food, then she knows it's real. She's got the faith in her now as well to just carry on in that step. Okay, or maybe it's also for the father. Look, she's had something to eat. She's real. She really is alive. Okay, believe. So, what have we learnt? Okay, first step then. Who can remind me? What was the first step? What have we just kind of gone through? How do we build faith? Through testimony. Thank you. Thanks, Pat. What do we do next once we've got faith? We build on it. How do we build on it? Through action. Yeah, do something. Mark it out. Kristen says, if you're hearing from God, write it out in a book. Mark it out. Set up a little monument. Not a monument, that sounds wrong, doesn't it? But just set it out. Set it out. Do something. Say, you know. Next, what do we do next? If it's an ongoing thing, if you've got to go 30 miles or 20 miles, and it's a long way to go, what do you do? How do you maintain the faith? Fan it into flame. Believe. Anticipate. Jesus is here. I believe. Get rid of the doubt. I believe. And finally, action. Say what the Spirit says to you in that instance. Great. Paul. Is Paul here? Right. Kristen's given out some words, and I've got a couple of others. What we're going to do is just put this into action, really. Like a good school. What do you think, Letitia? Yeah? Like a good school, put it into action, yeah? We've heard about it, let's do it. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to give out... There's a few things that we think God is saying that we believe it's for somebody in the room. And if it's you, you need to do what? Respond, yeah, believe, this is for me. Get out the doubt, forget the doubt. Believe. This is for me, claim that healing, reach out for it. Okay, Kristen, can you remind me the ones that you'd already...
Just, I felt it was in the worship. The Lord was doing some ministry. One was into someone who I saw as a 7 to 9 year old lad, nursing both emotional and physical bruises, and some of the things that went into you then. I felt the Lord was ministering into, And then the second was about someone who was brought up being told, you must love, and thinking, well, I won't do it out of duty, I'll do it out of myself. But the Lord saying, actually, it's in my fatherhood that you find the resources to go on loving.
Thank you, Kristen. I've got a couple as well. I think there's maybe somebody here who's had cramps, pains here. I don't know if the word Kate means anything to that, but somebody's had cramps. And also, I had a picture of somebody who's slightly balding and maybe has an issue with the brain. Okay. Is there any other words of knowledge or anything else that you think God's saying to you? I just invite you to come to the front and talk to Florence, and then Florence will put him on the mic. Okay. Right, so anybody up for this? Hands up if you're up for it. Say yay or nay. Great. Okay. What I was hoping is that you get into groups of 6 or 7. So maybe you could turn some chairs around and get into small groups. And if any of those words are for you, respond, come to the front, stand up, do something, believe, take a step of faith. Say it.
We sing a song in this church called Outrageous Grace. Do you know why that grace is so outrageous? It's because God is outraged that the devil has taken such a foothold in our lives. And that grace is there to counteract that foothold. That grace is there for you, for your healing, for your mental stability, for your spirit, for your soul, for your prosperity. It's an outrageous grace. He has already given us the power and the authority to take over the devil so that he will not be able to hurt us in any way, shape, or form. That's what that outrageous grace is there for. Be outraged as well and stand in that power and that authority and that dominion that God has already given us. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, be outraged. Take a risk. I believe in you because Jesus believes in you.